Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Circuses on the air.
The president does.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke, may the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning to you, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Ah, good. The headphones are working, yes.
They are.
I can hear you. Good morning, Dave.
What's happening, buddy?
Oh, wow.
It's summer.
I'll tell you what. Yesterday, if you didn't melt, you were blown over.
Yeah.
I was at a gathering with some friends yesterday afternoon, sitting outside and eating, and all of a sudden, whoosh, everything left the
table.
Was
your lunch gone?
Very quickly.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, though, beautiful weather all day.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, you know, just got...
I do feel like I'll be roasting. I'm going to the Cubs game later today.
Well, as Roger just said, 90, and it's going to be windy out
there. You know, I'm good with that because I'm going to be underneath a little bit. I'm a little bit further up.
Let's see. South-southwest winds. So
yeah.
What's that mean? They'll be blowing out?
Yeah.
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 From the south. The wind will blow out.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
At Wrigley.
I'll take
I'm
that.
I'm talking to Roger and you
I'll
at the same
that.
Time.
I'll take
Roger
that.
Roger says yes. Yeah.
Delightful. Delightful. We got a load to talk about. Let me get you rolling here. 1858, Abraham Lincoln says a house divided against itself cannot stand, accepting Illinois' Republican Party nomination for the Senate. That was the very beginnings for him.
He did it in the old state capitol building in the chambers there, and then in 7 years later, when after his assassination, when they brought him home to Springfield, that's where his body lay in state.
You know what? I'm going to Washington, D.C. in July, and I have not taken the kids to Springfield. And I feel like my son's been there on a field trip, and I know my daughter will be going.
The Lincoln Library and Museum is a destination.
Yeah, now I got to get down there. Train. Is train a good way to go?
You can do that.
Okay. Right.
You can do Amtrak. That might be kind of a treat for the kids.
Something fun, a little different.
That's doable. My preference, old Route 66.
Oh, that's the way to go. No, you're absolutely right.
That you can do.
We got to talk about that this summer. I know there's some anniversaries coming up with Route 66 shortly, so we'll find a way to discuss that as well.
Sure, you bet.
Aren't you traveling next week?
Yeah, we're not going south. We're going north. We will be at this time next week at the Mackinac Bridge.
Wow.
We'll be in Mackinac City, heading into the Upper Peninsula, and ultimately to Isle Royal National Park, which is in the middle, literally, of Lake Superior. It's an island.
Lovely.
So that's where we will be.
I look forward to hearing about your trip.
I'll have posts as soon as we have web access. I doubt we'll have
that
where it's far
north
as
we're
going.
So. We'll have to have Roger fill in for you next week.
Oh, okay.
On our little history segment here.
He'll be happy to do it.
I think so. So 1895, first roller coaster in the U.S. So as it grew, the popularity, experimentation, and coaster dynamics took off. In the 1880s, the concept of a vertical loop was explored, and in 1895 it came to fruition with the Flip-Flap Railway at Sea Lion Park in Brooklyn.
Can you imagine how scary it would have been to ride a roller coaster then?
It's scary now.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. It's scary now to do that. to know that it's secure and in the ground. But yeah, in the 1800s, I'm sure there were a few accidents that happened at that time.
More than a few.
More than a few. I've got a couple of classic commercials. We actually had Jason Serpian, who owns Santa's Village, on earlier this morning. And from two other classic Chicago parks, here first is a classic commercial from Dispense's Kitty Kingdom.
Dispense's Kitty Kingdom.
Fun to
see. At Dispense's Kitty Kingdom, exciting rides.
To Mickey Allen Howler.
Any ride a quarter.
Now, this one was the 70s, maybe the late 70s. It was very,
I remember that one.
Yeah, because it was a toy store, and they connected this massive amusement park to it. But they came and went. You know, the two that stayed around were Kittyland and Santa's Village, but there was Dispense's, there was Old Chicago.
And Old Chicago, yeah.
Adventureland. There was a bunch of them around Chicago at the time.
Chicago was out around Lamont or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Off of 55?
It was an indoor. Indoor.
Bolingbrook, yeah. Roger says.
There
yes.
we go.
Right.
There we go.
Right.
Here is a classic, and this closed in 2009. I will tell you, I spent my, I think for my 40th birthday, I'm going to be 50 this year.
You're so young.
But my 40th, we did a rooftop game, but for a group of friends and their kids, we literally spent the day at Kittyland, and it was the year they closed. So bummed about that. I think it was 2009. Here's a classic Kittyland commercial.
He said he used to go to Kittyland when he was a kid. I said, what'd you do there? He said, everything a kid did. Hey, son, won't you come along to the neatest kid's place? You know we can't go wrong. So we rode off to Kittyland. You know he was right. We played all day and well into the night. I said, I had so much fun, Dad. Let's do it again. Because every kind of kid loves Kittyland.
Oh, classic. I miss those places. I got to make it to Santa's Village this year. It's still beautiful. So, folks, if you didn't miss our interview, check it out on WGNRadio.com.
I'm glad there are still places like that.
It's for little kids, 2 to 12 years old, and it's just so much fun. And they have some Kittyland rides there, too, and he takes really good care of the park. So, great place to go this summer.
Dave, we never grew up.
We never did. No, that's true. No, it's true. Oh, I can't wait to go. I mean, I just to watch my kids doing some of these rides, I absolutely love it. I love watching them go. 1903, Ford Motors incorporates under Henry Ford, based in Dearborn, Michigan. It was founded by Henry Ford on June 16th, 1903. It would become one of the most largest and largest and most profitable companies, and one of the few to survive the Great Depression. And I play this every year because I find this audio so fascinating. And folks, it was recorded on a cylinder. And by the way, I went to the radio and phonograph show in Union today on the way back from Wisconsin. We were up in Wisconsin. And, you know, they've got all these. And when I say it's not regular phonographs, it's turn of the century where they have the old cylinders and the 78 records. Saw my buddy John Records Landecker there, which was very cool. And here is a cylinder recording of Henry Ford talking to Thomas Edison and Harvey Firestone. Let's take a listen. Ooh, this is really tough. We'll have to find a better recording of that, but I will tell you, it's tough.
Yeah, that you can't. That's
no, that one's
to
a tough
out.
One. Yeah. That's a tough one. But I will tell you, even the one that's the clearest is very hard to listen to. But it's you do hear them talking about business.
Mm-hmm.
At the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's a film clip that I've seen of Henry Ford just a year or two before he died, a talkie movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Of
yeah.
course. And him talking about how if a young man puts his mind to a project, there's no limit to what he can do.
You yeah.
know, well,
inspirational.
What happened to Henry Ford?
Yeah, look at that. 1903, also Pepsi-Cola was formed. It was first called, do you know what it was first called?
Pepsi-Cola?
Yeah, Pepsi.
No.
It was introduced in New Bern, North Carolina as Brad's Drink. Swear to God, that's what it was. Brad's Drink. Mm-hmm. Here's a classic Pepsi commercial. What is this? Is that what that is?
Oh, yes.
You're in the Pepsi generation.
Oh, my goodness. You know how old this is, Dave?
56, maybe? 57?
This goes, yes, the early 1960s. I remember this spot.
Wow.
You're in the Pepsi generation.
Who is the Pepsi generation? Just about everyone with the young view of things. Active, livelier people with a liking for Pepsi-Cola. A light refreshment with the bold, clean taste. Generous in flavor and sparkle. Pepsi belongs to your generation.
All right, take it, Dave.
Why else would Pepsi try so hard to be where you
Dave
are?
Dave Schwann sings 60s early. Television commercials. Yeah, I did.
Come alive. Da, 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 da. Come alive. Generation.
That's awesome. That's
that
awesome.
That was at the same time, Coke's ad campaign, the slogan was, things go better with Coke. That was before I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. And
honestly,
it's the
all of
thing.
These were some of the biggest ad campaigns still to this
ever.
Day. Ever. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah. And did you notice in that spot how he said that the Pepsi generation is anyone who's thinking young and thinking alive.
Yeah.
This was kind of the start of the push toward everything had to be youthful and young.
Yeah, right.
And old guys like me, why, just stand over there.
But you were a kid.
I was
you
a kid,
were a kid
then.
Back then.
Yeah,
absolutely. 1935, the U.S. Congress accepts FDR's New Deal. The New Deal was a series of domestic programs enacted between 1933 and 1936. They included both laws passed by Congress from FDR. It was in the great response to the Great Depression and focused on what historians have called the three R's, relief, recovery, and reform. That is relief for the unemployed and poor, recovery for the economy to normal levels, and reform of the financial system to prevent a repeated depression.
He brought forth the New Deal, or the phrase the New Deal was first mentioned during a campaign speech at the old Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, right. That's right. It was here.
1933. And I think it was the Democratic National
Convention. It was.
He accepted the nomination for his first term. And, you know, he said, I am proposing a New Deal for the American people. That was in the Chicago Stadium.
Yeah. Saved us. Quite frankly, yeah. 1941, here's another classic. Now, this is obviously, this commercial is not from 1941, Dave, but here is a commercial from the early 60s for Cheerios.
Cowboy Tom is a boy of six. He can rope a steer because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. He's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
Yes, Cheerios, the cereal that's shaped like a little letter O. No other cereal is like Cheerios, the only ready-to-eat cereal with this wonderful toasted oat flavor. A breakfast of Cheerios with milk, fruit, and buttered toast is all you need to give you go power. That's because Cheerios is made from energy-packed oats, made to give you the vitamins and minerals you need for healthy nerves, good red blood, strong teeth.
Healthy nerves.
Good
the oat
red
cereal
blood.
Yeah, I know, this is all this.
He's feeling his Cheerios.
I think there was a Cheerios kid, too, because it was like a
there
Cheerios.
There was a Cheerios kid.
Yeah.
That spot you just played, it's, I don't remember that one. Maybe a little bit before my time.
Yeah,
that
gotcha.
Sounded like
the 50s. It was definitely
the late 1950s. Yeah. There was a Cheerios kid. And nowadays, they're touting the fact that it brings down cholesterol. You didn't talk about that back then.
No, you didn't. And I'm sure there was probably some more sugar in some of these cereals back then. Probably not Cheerios, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
I like Cheerios. I ate Cheerios
too.
When I was a
My
kid.
My kids love them, too. Absolutely.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also in the 50s, 1956, Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin ended their friendship and their partnership, both, after 16 films. Let's listen to a little clip of Lewis, Martin Lynn Lewis.
I don't know.
So how you been?
Oh, this is when they reunited Labor Day at the telethon. Years later, in the 1970s.
You know, it seems like we haven't seen each other
in quite a while.
It was 20 years
well,
since
you know,
they saw
there
each other.
All those rumors about our breaking up, and then when I started the show and you weren't here, I believed it.
I'll show you guys to your room if you like. The lights are out upstairs. So
yeah, that was Sinatra who arranged the whole thing.
He drinks a lot, this kid.
So, you working?
I work.
People were flabbergasted.
Oh, sure.
The Megum.
MGM. Yeah.
And 6 days I do a roast. And
would you excuse us a minute?
want to see the wires are all right.
Gee, it's nice to see you. No, I'm over here.
No, I was. I had to come in because I had to, you know, I had to go, and this was the closest place.
But I mean, you think about it. It was all the movies, 16 films that they did. I believe they hosted some variety shows in the 1950s. I mean, they were the biggest thing. I mean, you see pictures of just screaming fans from hotel windows and so forth. I mean, you know, they both had amazingly successful careers afterwards. But, you know, a lot of people really from another generation don't know that they were paired together.
Yep, yeah, that's right. And also, you mentioned the screaming fans, Dave. There's a film of them evidently headlining at the Chicago Theater. And it would have been the south wall of the theater, an alley there. And I think the alley is still there. But there's,
is that right?
You know, tons of screaming young girls, fans, jumping up and down on the sidewalk right outside the Chicago Theater. And Martin and Lewis are hanging their heads out the window, waving at them.
Very cool.
At the Chicago Theater. Yeah.
You know, I would say I probably discovered more of Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin separately. Over the years,
oh, like, sure.
You know,
yeah,
watching, you know, Nutty Professors or, you know, what was it called? Cinderfella.
And I grew up favorites. With the Dean Martin show, the variety show.
I kind of remember that. I do remember that.
Oh,
and I,
that
and
was
but,
big.
But I also remember watching the Ocean's 11 and knowing
Ocean's
about the
11.
Rat Pack and all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculously, they've all had, you know, successful, like multiple lives in entertainment over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Lewis still around. We're trying to get Jerry Lewis for an interview later this summer.
Oh, that'd be great.
I have to fly to Vegas to talk to him, though, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. Good luck. I hope
you
get that.
I hope so, too. Yeah. 1961, CBS Radio cancels Gunsmoke on radio. 432 episodes. On radio, not even on television, 432 on radio.
Isn't it one of the still, if not the longest running program on TV?
Yeah.
Ran, it was on TV when it was still on radio at the same time.
Marshall Dillon in radio was played by whom?
The guy that played Cannon.
William Conrad, right, exactly, very good. Yeah. And on TV was James Arness, Now, the TV series ran for 20 years, 635 episodes.
He owned that role.
Yeah.
But he owned that role.
But between radio and television, over 1,000 episodes.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
1966, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, often you know, referred to just as Laugh-In. 140 episodes, 68 to 73. Dan Rowan, Dick Martin, Ruth Buzzy, Judy Carn, Richard Dawson, Henry Gibson, Goldie Hawn, Artie Johnson, Dave Madden, Lily Tomlin, Joanne Worley. I heard Roger talking with the WGN Radio theater folks that he was watching some episodes. You know, there's some shows that can stand up today as far as variety and comedy.
Carol Burnett being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was listening to the Jack Benny program as I was driving in. That one stands up to the test of time also. Laugh-In does not. It was very political and very news-oriented as far
and
as their
and very much part of that psychedelic 60s.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Has gone away.
Hard to relate to. Another show that was around at the time, 1969, Hee Haw with Roy Clark and Buck Owens on CBS. Well, what was funny is it was a...
Hee Haw, starring Buck Owens and
there you go.
Roy Clark.
I'm a-pickin' and I'm a-grinnin'.
Listen to this. It was all taped in Nashville. CBS had it. It was a replacement for the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour.
Right. When they canceled the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, right, exactly. 585 one-hour shows.
I didn't know it ran that long.
Yeah, because it was syndicated.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, you know, when I finally caught up with this, Minnie Pearl and Grandpa Jones and Junior Samples and all that, it was on Channel 9 on Sunday nights before or after Lawrence Welk. So your grandparents would watch.
You're
watch
a big Lawrence Welk fan, aren't you?
Oh, I'm a huge one. You know what's funny? It's just a little side note. When it's been on like one of the PBS stations, and I'm like laying around the house in the wintertime when it's just cold down here, or whatever, and I start watching it for a little bit just to see the corniness of the whole thing. And my wife or my son will walk in the room and they'll be like, "The hell are you watching?" But it was a classic. It was a classic.
I think part of it was, for want of a better term, a spin-off of really an American institution, the Grand Ole Opry.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's exactly
because
right.
Because you mentioned Minnie Pearl and, you know, those other players that were all part of that, regulars on the Grand Ole Opry. And they just kind of transferred some of that to TV.
It was recorded at the Grand Ole Opry on top of it.
Okay.
Yeah. 1980, the Blues Brothers premieres in Chicago.
I just showed that on HBO a few weeks ago.
Here, let's take a listen. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Yeah, it was on a few weeks ago. I saw it on cable, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1980, John Landis, of course, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, all coming from Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
One of the biggest successful franchises coming from Saturday Night Live.
You know, the chase scene through the mall, it's funny to watch that and get a glimpse of some of the stores that are no longer in business.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
names.
Yeah. Didn't the prison that it was filmed at, didn't
Joliet
it just burn?
Joliet Correctional Center?
Yeah, it just burned down, didn't it?
I'll have to check that.
I think it just happened. There was a fire there a week or two ago. But, yeah, they ripped through that mall. And you know what? That's one movie I haven't shown my son yet. I got to sit down
and watch
that movie with him. Yeah.
Oh, he'd
That's
love
a classic. That's
he'd love it. One of my favorite lines from that is when they're playing the bar and they are expected to be, you know, a hardcore country and western band. And then they break into the Spencer Davis song.
Yeah.
Give me some lovin'. You know, they start in with the horns and everything, and the manager's in his office at his desk, stops what he's doing and turns around and he goes, "That ain't no Hank Williams song."
Didn't one of the waitresses
cracks
say,
me up every
they asked, "What kind of music do you play here?"
Yeah.
And it was, "We play country
and
western." We'll be right back.